Welcome to New Life Church. Please stand as we worship and hear these words from Psalm 84. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing he does, he withholds from those who walk. Let's worship.
So. Forever echo, holy is the Lord. Thank you, worship team, for bringing us into worship while Easter celebration is still so fresh in our minds. So thank you for this morning. My name is Sharon Gritter, and I'm your host today. And I'd like to welcome the three-year-olds all the way up to grade five to come down here. We're going to pray over you and welcome you to your Sunday school programs tonight, this morning. So come on down. Teachers, you're invited. And parents, if they need a little extra hand, come on down with them. I am caring for a 3 and 10-year-old and who go to the lights. And I receive these beautiful little emails from Mar Kostelik, the children's director. And she always tells us what's happening. She tells us a story so we can teach them at home. And today, or this week, we received this email that talked about one of the themes. And it's called Retro, which is kind of the opposite of the sermon today. Retro, it's kind of futuristic AI. But downstairs, they're going to be learning about retro. So if your kids are talking about some things and you're like, what are they talking about? You'll know what they're talking about. And I just thought, children, before I pray for you, before you go downstairs, I have two questions for you. And I was going to take a retro plastic bag because they're going to be out of style, but anyone know what this is? Carl's Market bag. Anyways, thought I'd plug that in. Lots of clapping over there. Yeah. Anyways, there's two things in here. Wait a minute, did you say something?
I said you earned yourself a free bag of droppies.
No way! Yes! That's not why I did this, no. Okay, so something's in here, and I'm just going to bug you, Janessa. Retro is even after you were born, and that's how, and you're so young today. That's what they're saying, retro. So something's in this bag. And you can call it out. You don't have to put up your hands if you can see me and see if you know what this is. Just the children, see if they know. Does anyone know what this is? I was looking through my house. Oh, somebody knows. What is it?
A cassette tape.
Yes, it's a videotape. Now I'm going to ask the audience, who still watches these videotapes? No? Okay, I'm not throwing mine away anytime soon. Oh, you do. Yes, I know, memories. I think this is my wedding. Thanks for. And I was going through the house. I couldn't find too much because I purge and I, you know, get rid of things. But I found one other little thing. If I can find it, I even put one in my pocket. Does anyone know what this is? Can you see it? Can you see what this is? A penny. We don't even use those anymore. In fact, I think this is an American one. I found it. We don't use pennies in Canada too much, do we? And I bet you some of your parents remember they'd go to the store, get some candy, and it may be 1 or 2 cents. Now we don't even have that. So You're probably curious, what does retro have to do with the Bible? Well, guess what? You have to go downstairs to learn why retro is the theme this whole month of April. So before you go down, I want you to fold your hands and close your eyes. That's a way that we focus on God. We don't fidget with our hands. That's why we fold them, and we're going to pray. Dear Father, we thank you for these beautiful children that are sitting right here who are still so innocent, and there's so much to learn when it comes to the Bible. So we thank you for their teachers that will support them downstairs, and we pray for a great lesson, and we thank you once again for their leaders and the time that they're giving. In your name we pray, amen. So little lights go right down there, and the older children can go right down there, and they get to learn their lesson. So we are so happy that you're here with us today, and if you are a guest, right in front in the pew, you might see a connections card. Feel free to fill that out, and you can bring it back into the foyer, and you'll receive a gift. And if you're online this morning, feel free to communicate with each other and say where you're watching this, and we pray a blessing for you too as you watch this, wherever you are maybe in the world. So, and along those lines, if you are new, you're filling out these connection cards, you want to know a little bit more about what New Life is about, we are holding some casual classes with Pastor Nathan for those interested in baptism, profession of faith, membership, and the inner workings of New Life. These are great classes for those new to the community and want to know more or are ready to call this church home. This class starts on April 14. It's going to be 3 weeks, and it will follow the Sunday service, 12 to 2, and a lunch will be provided. So please contact the office if you are interested in joining this class. Esperanza is a missions trip, and it's planned for August 10 to 17. Groups from New Life have been going to Esperanza for many years, and they help do a wide variety of tasks. Our work enables the staff there to spend more time in ministry to the local people and to run camps and other activities. So this is an opportunity for families, couples, singles of all ages and abilities to serve in a beautiful location on a remote coast of Vancouver Island. So all kinds of help are needed. Please visit newlife.ca events to learn more. Registration is will be over at the end of this month. An offering. Today we are taking an offering for New Life Ministries. This fund directly supports New Life Ministry budget for the year, and you can give your offering electronically in the ways listed on the screen, or bring it to one of the offering boxes at the front during the fellowship time. So let's pray for this offering. Father, thank you for the privilege of being able to give back to you. And we thank you for the gifts you've given us, the gifts that we can give back. We pray for the staff here at New Life, the workings of all the volunteers, and how we want to be a light in this community in Abbotsford. So we pray for this offering. Amen. For everyone who, we're going to have our 3-minute fellowship right now. This is a time to greet one another with the peace of Christ, meet someone new and welcome them here. That's when you can bring your offerings. And maybe the question of the day is, what is retro in your house? That's it. Thank you for having me.
Check, check, check. There we go. Loose connection. Okay. Anyway, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Pastor Bruce, and I'll lead you through the rest of the message. Am I out again? Okay. Yes? No? Oh, man. Okay, well, how am I supposed to? Okay, here, just put it in my pocket then.
Is it off now?
It's a wonderful start to the message, eh? Okay. So everyone knows we're human this morning. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, let's pray. I think we need it. Father, thank you for this morning. Thanks for your goodness, your grace. Thanks for the children this morning, for the music. And now focus our hearts as we tackle this topic this morning. And we try to see it through the lens of Scripture. Lord, inspired by your Spirit. So speak to us. Work in us this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're starting this new series here at New Life called New Realities. New Realities. And how are you feeling this morning? Good? I hope you had your coffee this morning?
Yep.
Good. Because I'm going to make you work a little harder this morning, okay? Now, just a few caveats right off the top. First, some of you might be wondering even why we're doing a series like this. Like, why are we tackling these topics that we're going to talk about in the coming weeks, such as artificial intelligence, which we're talking about this morning, things like climate change, human migration, new medical realities, and more. Well, first of all, on a basic level, these are incredibly relevant to your life. Whether you're a Christian or not, you need to be thinking about these things because they're going to have a huge impact on your life moving forward. You need to be informed. But if you are a Christian, you need to be even more savvy. You see, you need to bring the wisdom of the kingdom that Jesus brought near to the table, so to speak. Listen, the Bible wants us to have a faith that seeks understanding. I mean, part of the reason I'm a Christian and a Reformed Christian in particular is because I believe that what is expressed in the Christian faith best explains reality as it is. It best explains the totality of human experience, who we are, what is good, what isn't, our future, the meaning of life, purpose, and so much more. But, and this is a big but, that doesn't happen by osmosis. All of us here have the responsibility to think. All of us need to reason. All of us need to bring the wisdom of Jesus to bear in order to grapple with these pressing issues of our time. And now listen, over the next number of weeks, there may come a point where you even disagree with some of the things that we're talking about, what I say or Nathan or some of the other speakers. I mean, they're trying to bring wisdom. They're trying to bring a perspective. And I want to say, great. I mean, who cares? Let's talk. Let's think. Let's reason together. Let's turn this place into a shrine where we have, where we're growing in each other a faith that seeks understanding. I mean, let me say it like this. It is just so easy, friends, to sleepwalk into the future. But remember now, Jesus said, I am sending you out as sheep among wolves. So be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Of all the people in this culture, those who have grasped and received the revelation of Jesus, his love, his grace, his truth, our responsibility is to open our eyes to reality as it is and then to respond in a spirit of love. Are you with me? Okay, switch gears. I told you you're going to have to work harder. What I'm going to share with you this morning, is a foundational truth. And it's going to come up in this message and in this series. And what it is the fundamental difference between scientism or materialism and the Christian world and life view. Here it is. Are you ready? Never buy the notion that someone doesn't have faith. Everyone has faith. Everyone's perspective in this world is founded on some unprovable premises. Okay? Several years back, Stephen Hawking wrote a book about how science best explains reality, and it is literally filled with unprovable philosophical premises. In fact, the truth is he didn't write a book about science, he wrote a book about philosophy, which explains how materialism is the best philosophy, which is kind of ironic. So if someone says to you something like this, you have faith and I have reason and science, it's a false premise. It's a false premise. See, the statement, science best explains the universe and everything in it, is an unprovable statement. What's more, and now listen, science, while a gift to humanity, is a blunted language. It is a poor language when it comes to grasping the most important questions of life. Einstein said it years ago. He said, it's possible for theologians to talk about science, but it's virtually impossible for scientists to talk about theology and ethics. Now, there's a ton more I could say about that, but I don't have time this morning. But it's going to come up. I called Janessa this week, and I said, I literally don't know how to explain the depth of this topic, artificial intelligence. It's so vast and yet so important. And she said to me, but Dad, you're an amazingly intelligent guy, and if anyone can do it... No, she did not say that. Are you kidding me? You know what she said? She said, well, good luck with that. Okay, let's switch gears again. Another important principle that's going to come up today and in this series, listen now, there is no such thing as pure evil. There is no such thing as pure evil. And this goes all the way back to St. Augustine. You might be tempted to think, especially when you hear sermons in the future about artificial reality, about some of the new realities that we're facing, you know, a lot of people out there in certain circles are going to talk about Book of Revelation, 666, Mark of the Beast, but you need to be really, really careful, okay? Listen, all things that are created by God, all right? And are created good. Satan and his forces, and I do believe they exist, cannot create. He himself is a created being. All Satan and his minions can do is deface, defile, pollute, or graffiti what God has made good. Are you with me? It's an extremely important principle. Artificial intelligence is not the devil's spawn. It's a human creation. Now, our capacity to create is a good thing. It's a very good thing. You know, Da Vinci's creation of the Mona Lisa is a good thing. Mozart's Jupiter Symphony is a good thing. Ice cream is a good thing. And let me just say, some of you need to get that under control, right? But now, as flawed human beings, we can take what God has intended for good and we can use it for evil. We can create the weapons of our own destruction, even possibly through artificial intelligence, through AI. Yes, nuclear physics has created nuclear fission and nuclear reactors that have produced a vast amount of electricity over the years, which have warmed many homes and kept many people from freezing during the winter all around the world. But it's also the technology behind the mushroom clouds over Hiroshima and Nagasaki, right? I have become death, the destroyer of life. Do you understand what I'm saying? The possibility of AI is not an evil. It can only be used for evil if it's in the hands of the wrong person. So, you know, this is going to come up in this series. It's so important. It's so important to become the right sort of person, to develop the right sort of moral compass. And the Bible talks a lot about this. We're going to get there this morning. But that's one of the keys to being able to handle some of these new realities that we're facing. Okay, with all that in mind, let's talk about AI. By the way, just so you know, little known fact, this term was coined by a guy by the name of John McCarthy at MIT, and he was a Christian. And part of the reason he named it artificial intelligence is because he understood that artificial intelligence could never replace our identity and capacity before God. Interesting, eh? So what is AI? So I thought I would demonstrate that for you this morning in a very practical way, because maybe some of you farmers might be a little bit confused this morning as to what we're talking about, okay? And some of you will be like, this sermon is making no sense to me at all. You're going to be sharing that one this week. Okay. And so I want to invite three people that I've invited to come up this morning, and we're going to show you what AI is right in front of you. Because maybe some of you are saying, I'm really fresh to this, I don't know what it is. We're going to show you what it won't get too complicated, can do. All right, so Tony, come on up, and Faye, come on up, and Peter, come on down, okay? And I'm going to get Tony to go first. Okay, so, and we're going to put the screen up. Okay. This is ChatGPT. This is real live. Okay, this isn't fake. We're doing this like in real time. Okay, so Tony, what do you want AI to do for you? Your a poem, a song, a ballad, your taxes, what?
Well, let's try. It's almost camping season, and okay. I have grandkids.
Okay.
And it's fun sitting around a campfire, and so let's try write a poem about campfires for my grandkids.
Okay. Write a fun poem about campfires that I can read to my grandchildren.
Perfect.
Okay, perfect. Okay, let's run that. In the heart of the woods where the shadows dance with crackling.
So this is being written in real time.
In real time.
She just typed that in.
That's it.
And it came up.
In the heart of the woods where the shadows dance lies a place where campfires gleam and prance with crackling flames that reach for the sky. It's where tales are spun. Oh my, oh my. That's pretty
now
good.
That will make me sound pretty intelligent at the campfire. Oh my goodness.
Let's print that out.
Can I get a copy of that? Yeah,
for sure. We'll give you a copy. For sure. For sure. Okay, Faye, I wanted to do something involving work. And so maybe you can just for a moment say what you do for work.
The BC Christian Reformed Churches have a Safe Church Ministry, and New Life is part of the Christian Reformed Churches here. And that Safe Church Ministry works to cultivate and support churches in setting up safe environments where everyone can thrive and can prosper. So my job is to walk alongside church leaders in abuse prevention and response, providing training, and particularly also responding to leadership misconduct. Another piece of my job is to help churches set up, develop, and implement abuse prevention policies that reduce the risks of abuse, protect leaders and volunteers, and just set up safe environments where everyone can thrive.
Okay. So what do you want AI to do for you today?
Well, I haven't tried this yet. But okay. Maybe they could set up an abuse prevention policy for a church, for, let's say, a smaller church that's around 200 people, but that has a large children's ministry.
Okay, here we go. Uh-oh, you might be out of a job here.
I just got fired.
But, okay, that's a short policy, but isn't it incredible that it can do that like that? Okay? It might take months of committee meetings to get anywhere close to that, right?
I work with a whole denomination of personnel on this. So, yeah, I think I might be trying some new things.
Okay, great. Okay, Peter, I wanted to get in the younger generation as well. So what do you want AI to do for you?
Write me an excuse for not getting my homework done.
Okay. Let's ask. I want you to reach out to regarding the recent assignment. Unfortunately, I encountered an unforeseen technical issue with my computer that rendered it completely useless.
She'll never believe it. I would never use the word best regards.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking. this is a bit... You know, I think a teacher would be like, I don't know. Anyway, thank you. Can you give it up for these guys for coming up this morning? Appreciate it. All right, so that's what AI can do and a lot more. And let me just explain a little bit more what it can do. And let me take you through what might be called the narrow version of artificial intelligence. And... that could be understood as a computer that does one thing really, really fast that normally takes human intelligence. It normally takes human intelligence to write a poem like that, right? But AI can do this quickly. But let me use another illustration to make you understand. So the olden days, if you had a chest cold or something like that, you would go to the doctor, he would put a stethoscope on your chest, and he would say, cough, right? And then he would go, I wonder what it is. Well, you might have a chest cold, or you might have the flu, or something like that. But the truth is, he really didn't know. Now, if it got worse, he might do something like take an x-ray of your chest, all right? But then, even then, when he was looking at it, he'd be kind of be like, based on his experience, he'd be like, I think my best guess is that you have this, right? Now, we have databases from all over the world, especially post-COVID, by the way, of the lungs of people who have various diseases, millions of them, okay? And what AI can do, it can take your particular x-ray and it can compare it to all the other x-rays that exist, like a million different x-rays, and come out with an idea, probably better than your local doctor, as to what ails you. Are you with me? That's one. Now you might say, well, that's a good thing, isn't it? Absolutely. It's a good thing, right? And AI has all kinds of positive applications when it comes to medicine or teaching or nutrition and a whole other bunch of applications that can improve our lives. But there are other applications which can be both good and bad. And we all experience them on a pretty regular basis. Why? Because we carry around one of these little devices, right? Have you ever had this, right? You're on your device, and you're starting to look for something. You're going to shop for something, right? And all of a sudden, ads start popping up across all your different devices. Oh, you want to go to Mexico? We have a wonderful deal for you in Puerto Vallarta, right? Oh, you want to buy couches? Curiously enough, we have a couch sale starting this week, 40% off, right? Oh, you want to buy a cat? Well, that's just an evil idea to begin with. So, by the way, be careful about what you say around these devices because it knows and it hears. And here's the question. How much of your privacy are you willing to give up for your own personal convenience? Don't be naive, friends. Newer phones, especially newer phones, are AI devices. They are watching you. They are listening. Yet, we all carry them around, almost oblivious to their power. And we are addicted to them, right? Go to any restaurant, go to any airport, any other place, and everyone's engaged in, you know, in a deep, meaningful conversation with AI, not each other. And this is where it gets really dark, right? In China now, there is one closed-circuit television for every three, or sorry, not television, camera for every three Chinese folks. Now, if you check lately, there's a lot of Chinese people in the world, okay? So that's a lot of cameras. Now, what's happening is that they're developing in China, because they have a centralized government, a point system. So if you're caught on camera and through facial recognition technology, they can tell who you are. Also, now they can tell who you are from the back because of your gait, okay? They can tell where you're going, who you're talking to. Now, if you're talking to the right people, and maybe you're saying the right things online, you know, maybe you're supporting the right party, well, your points go up. And if your points go up, then you can get into certain universities and you can get certain jobs and your career can advance. But if you're saying the wrong things, things are out of sorts with the powers that be, so to speak, well, your points go down. And suddenly you don't have access to the things that other people do. You see the dark side of this? And if you think, oh, well, that's just in China, do you realize that when you go out of your house, you are on a closed circuit camera essentially every 5 minutes? And if you go into a shopping mall or into a more public place, almost continuously. That's where we're at these days. And they can recognize you, right? They have your face on file, so to speak. Don't you realize your credit score is being tracked? Your Google searches are being tracked. The pictures you post on Facebook are being tracked. The fact that you like Starbucks as opposed to Tim Hortons is being tracked. Your propensity to buy tools from one particular supplier as opposed to another is being tracked. What sports teams you like is being tracked. The fact that you were here this morning in church is being tracked. And then it gets even darker. Say some of you tend to visit illicit websites, gambling and other stuff. Well, what you like is being tracked and fed back to you and fed back to you and fed back to you. It's like what Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz said, lions and tigers and bears. Oh, no. What's emerging is you are being controlled. We have all this information about you so we can manipulate you in order to control you, or worse, to exploit you. Now, remember what I said. I mean, there's positive applications for AI too, but we also, and this is why this series is so important, we have to open our eyes and realize what's going on in the world. Now, let's talk about AI in the broader sense, or the more complex sense. And what we're talking about here is devices that are designed to learn and that eventually make their own decisions as to what to do next. Let's talk about military drones for a moment. Because a lot of us have heard about drones in connection with the war in Ukraine and Gaza. In some respects, modern war has become a war of drones. It's not up close and personal anymore like it used to be. No, it's about raining explosives down on your enemy's heads, you know, from a distance, right? Pushing a button from somewhere. And all the drone operator sees is a camera image and then a puff of smoke and a blurry screen. Now think about this. What if drones were given the ability to choose, select, and destroy the most strategic target given to them without human control? Because they can do it quicker. What if they could decide based on whatever algorithm they've been given whether people live or die? Now you think, wow. Listen. CNN reported on Thursday this week that an AI system called Lavender picked out potential targets in Gaza to attack. But it has a 10% error rate. We saw that this week too, didn't we? And the families of World Kitchens volunteers stand in tears. On another note, how about this? What if in the future we could marry the biological to the mechanical and the digital? What if we could create a superior human? What if you could give birth to, but then also create and alter a child so that it would live 150 years and would never suffer any child-borne diseases or future diseases because they've been genetically cured of that? Would you do it? What if you could create a child that could be coached by a computer chip implanted in their head in order to make them smarter, But it would also contain an algorithm that would coach them as to what society or the powers that currently be deemed was right. But if you didn't, they'd be at a huge disadvantage at school or in terms of getting a job, and they could potentially live an impoverished life. What would you do? Anyone a little terrified yet? Oh, I could go on, but I want to get to some biblical principles this morning that can help us this morning. And let me start with this one, all right? And this is really important. God is in control. God is in control. All of this stuff, and I get it this morning, it can get overwhelming. And sometimes it's hard to imagine how we can even navigate this crazy future world. But let me assure you, in the book of Revelation, God says this, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Listen, God made this world. He knows how it works. And there is no power, there is no power in this world that can compare to the power of God. He knows what's possible. And he stands in control of it all. Now, this can seem a little difficult sometimes, especially as we experience it as human beings. One Christian writer I read this week said this, perhaps as human beings, we're getting a little taste of our own medicine. God created human beings with immense power, but humanity also used and exploited these powers to unleash great evil on the earth. And now humanity is gaining the power to create for itself entities, devices, and even life forms that have the potential to fall in an equally catastrophic way. Think about that. But God is in control, friends. And if you take nothing else away from the message this morning, I want you to take that away. God is on the throne. And moving forward, I believe we're going to have to lean even more into that reality. Okay, second biblical principle. Our identity as image bearers can never be digitized. Our identity as image bearers can never be digitized. Let me cycle back to that notion that I mentioned earlier in the message. Some of the prophets of AI these days are declaring that computers or robots will be able to duplicate the human experience or even surpass it in the future. Some, such as Yuval Harari, who wrote an immensely popular book called Homo Deus, which, by the way, means man-god, are declaring that we are on the brink of the rise of a new species, a superior form of human beings, bionic Homo sapiens, ones that, given their capacities, will rebuild the Tower of Babel, and this time, with their new and improved powers, succeed in displacing the one true God. But I'm here to tell you this morning, it's a sham. It's a false premise. Because we are so much more than just an advanced collection of carbon. As human beings, we are made in the image of God, okay? We are conscious beings. Now listen, understand this, really important principle. No one even really knows, not the smartest people in the world, really know what consciousness is. We cannot recreate it, all right? We're created in the image of God. Now, again, a huge topic, but let me say it this way. As image bearers, we weren't just created to live, but to love. We weren't just created to duplicate, but to innovate. We weren't just created to exist, but to imagine. We weren't just created to be rule keepers, but to do good. We weren't just created to equate, but to dream. We weren't just created to wield power, but to wield it wisely and for good. And no computer can ever do these things. All it can do is borrow from what human beings have already done and experienced and reproduce it quickly. Most importantly, as human beings, we were created to live in a life-giving and life-receiving relationship with God through Jesus Christ. The whole Bible talks about this, right? We were designed to walk with him in the cool of the day and to build a redeeming relationship with Jesus. And no computer can ever, ever enter into that kind of relationship. Okay, we're almost done this morning. A few admonitions that can help you in this increasingly complicated world. As you've seen this morning, first, Jesus helps us to focus on becoming the right sort of person. And that means everything. I've said this a million times, but I'll say it again this morning. Jesus' greatest task, his great task when he was here, was not to get you into heaven, but to get heaven into you. And this becomes all the more important in an age in which ethical decisions, such as the ones we talked about this morning, become increasingly difficult. Tell me, what drives you? What defines you? Who are you? We watch AI this morning, build these these texts this morning, right? Let me ask you this morning, who is writing the text of your life? I'll try not to move around so much. So, be immersed in the teachings of Jesus. Be immersed in the practices, the disciplines of Jesus. Pursue the mind of Christ, the Bible tells us. I'm not saying it's easy, friends. What is that precarious balance between grace and truth? And we don't always get it right. I know I don't. But this I do know. The closer I stay to the fires of the gospel, to its warmth and light, it's in that space that I find direction and purpose and meaning that shape my life in positive ways. Jesus said, "Behold, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Finally, dive deep into community and trust it, real community, more than your eyes or ears, and maybe even live off the grid a little. The primary mission of Jesus on earth was to create an alternative community, a community shaped by God's will done on earth. And let me say this, the currency of that kingdom Jesus came to bring is love and trust. People who know and love each other, and not on some digital screen or not through some device, but in real life, who dive deeply into each other's lives in the real world. Now, I don't want to scare you this morning, but moving forward, you should be wary about what you hear over digital devices and platforms increasingly. Why? Because with AI, it is dead easy for someone in your life to appear as if they're doing something that they shouldn't do. People's images and identities can be duplicated. You might think you're talking to another person, a person that you know and love, but you're really talking to a facsimile of them. Now, it's important to be discerning on this front because there are still people out there that are villains. But what's going to save us, I believe, as followers of Jesus, is the real community that we build with one another. That's why the Bible says we should never, never give up on meeting together and being with one another. Amen? And then maybe, just maybe, we need to get a little bit more Amish these days. Maybe part of what it means to be a follower of Jesus in this complicated world is to come out from among them, to live off the grid a little, to get more down to earth, more connected with one another. I'm just about done, so bear with me. Let me close with this. Artificial intelligence is a gift, friends. It's the gift of a benevolent God who gave us enormous powers over creation that we are still exploring. Psalm 8 says this, as human beings, we were made a little lower than the angels, and we are crowned with what? With glory and honor. The question is, what will we do with that power? Will we use it to bless or to curse? Will we use it to serve others or serve ourselves? Will we use it to worship God like we did this morning or to defy him? Your future, my future, the future of the human race hangs in the balance. Let's pray. Father, this was a tough topic this morning, a deep topic. But Lord, my prayer is that we could all see here this morning how relevant a topic it is in this world that we live in. Father, I just pray for one thing this morning. Fill us once again with your spirit, the spirit of wisdom, for us to know what to do. And help us, as we talked about this morning, to dive more deeply into our discipleship to you. Help us to remember this morning that you are the one that knows the way home. And that what you say, "Now, listen, in this crazy world, follow me. Follow me. I am the light of the world. I will show you the Father." Help us to believe that and trust that and to build our lives on that. We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. Would you rise?
There is no one like you. There is none. his face